edition of the Hagmann Report. That's right, the Hagmann Report. It is Tuesday, October 24th, 2017. The reason I mentioned that date, this is a historic date, at least in my view anyway. We've got in studio, we've got the honeybee, Melissa Zacharia. We've got Anthony. I was going to say Andrew, but I caught myself. Anthony. Cordonega. Did I pronounce that right? Cadornega. Cadornega. See? Cadornega.
Cadornega.
I'm going to be working on my letters numbers tomorrow.
Once we butcher a name, we all butcher it.
I'm going to tell you, it's metastatic around here. But you can follow him at Liberty Column on Twitter. And, of course, he's got a website, thelibertycolumnist.com. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
All right. That's good. And the reason I'm pointing over there, that's where Studio B is, and that's where he's at. And, of course, sitting in with us this hour as well is the honeybee. So let's get right down to it. Melissa, go ahead and introduce Anthony, because I think he'd be the person to do it.
Thank you. This is going to be a really big treat for you folks, because Anthony, he's been on his own channel on the Liberty Columnist. He's been starting off. This guy has got Liz Croken. I don't even know who this guy is. He's got like maybe 150, 200 followers in the beginning. He's got Liz Croken on, breaking news that she's getting kicked out of town hall and harassed for her reporting. And this is the guy I go to the YouTube channel of this man to watch this breaking news. I'm like, I got to talk to this guy. How did he get her on his show? He is just this charismatic, really bright, amazing soul and mind. He's a beautiful brain, and
he's a dynamic young man.
Unbelievable. And you know, at the ripe old age of early 20s, 21, he has done so much for this movement of truth. And he, the stuff that he finds, I'm telling you, he is bold.
Definitely a rising star.
Big time.
Yep.
Big time.
Yep. So with that, follow him at Liberty Column, at Liberty Column on Twitter, and it should be up on the screen. And, of course, the LibertyColumnist.com. With that, let's bring on Anthony. Go ahead. Say the last name.
Anthony Cadornega.
Cadornega. Okay, there we go. Let's bring him on. Anthony, welcome to the Hagmann Report.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad to be here, honestly. I can't even express how happy I was to hear about the opportunity to come on and talk to you all and share this message with you guys. And, you know, also just want to thank you guys for letting me in general come here and share part of your platform, especially with a lot of the work that we're doing with our documentary. And I'm just so grateful to be here.
Well, you know, it's amazing. Any expectation that I had just was, blown out of the water. Meeting Melissa, talking with Anthony, seeing what they're doing individually and collectively, and of course I can't forget Heather, who's part of their team. Just unbelievable what they are doing. And I want to get behind both of them and really support them. But Anthony, where should we start? Now, you're doing a documentary.
I am.
Okay. Just tell us what it's about and whatever else you want to toss in there in terms of, acquaint us with what you're doing.
Well, I'd probably have to preface it saying early on in the game when I first, you know, met Honeybee herself, Melissa over here in the corner, great person. When I first met her, we had a very long talk the first time we got in touch. And it was a lot about all of the current issues that were breaking at the moment. It had just been, I think it was past November after the Pizzagate news had came out. And there, we realized later on, a few months later, that there was really this deficiency in the market of alternative news that is, you know, in general, as it includes, you know, YouTube as well. And this deficiency lied in the fact that this notion of Pizzagate was so abstract, and it was so to the point of it being hard to individualize, where all of these massive crimes and all the things that people had been researching into. And so ultimately we came together and we decided that we were going to go after this topic. We were going to show to the world how you can individualize all of this stuff in the real cases, people with real cases of their children being taken away from them through CPS, and real cases showing the actual illegal intervention on behalf of judges and CPS alike. And we wanted to show this to everyone because we were tired of seeing this all being about one event, James Elefantis, Comet Pizza, Comet Ping Pong. It's so much more than that. And I think this was in general, for whatever reason it fell apart, for whatever reason it broke. I think in general that they turned this story against us. They turned this story against us to do the opposite of what I said, to collectivize the story, to make it all about one specific location, and they derailed it from that end.
And they were able to, and by doing so, they were able to say it's nothing but a conspiracy theory, as they like to put it. So that was their intent after it broke, right? I mean, but by limiting it to that one location, or the one individual, or just a limited number of individuals, they were able to basically take the wind out of the sails of the investigative researchers.
Right.
Okay, which and folks, again, if you didn't hear the first hour with Melissa Zacharia, known as the Honeybee, please go back and tune into that first hour. So there it is. So okay, your documentary is, of course, to expose the larger collective, shall we say, operation here, and operations going on in the United States or across the world.
Right. And okay. And there's basically what we've come across is throughout all these individual cases, it rings this overall symphony of the same MO, the same exact thing happening in every single case, seeing government intervention working on behalf of corrupt judges, corrupt lawyers, and all of this coming at its head. And so, like I said, we wanted to show to the world that there's so many of these cases, and it reaches into the darkest sides of society, things in the occult, like Melissa had mentioned. There are real cases of satanic ritual abuse that we're getting information coming in through our lines of all kinds of people with this information. Now, the important part I wanted to talk about is you got to vet this stuff. I mean, everyone understands with all the amount of material coming in, you've got to vet these cases, and we've just, slaved away at vetting these cases, and I have missed nights of sleep, countless amounts of sleep with this, and we've come to an utter a conclusion of this all, and it doesn't look good, guys. It doesn't look good at all, and we're seeing this happen, like I said, in many, many, many cases. I cannot stress that enough.
I was amazed at, I'm an investigator by profession, and I was just amazed at the standards, the self-taught standards by that Anthony uses, Melissa uses, Heather as a team. And let me say this: I would back them 100% based on just what I've seen today. And so your vetting process is second to none. So thank you for that. Because one misstep, and Joe,
talk about tedious work.
Yeah,
One misstep, and people who are looking to, as many as the SRA cases that are legitimate that are out there, you always have people, I'd say maybe 10-20%, who are trying to. Some people have mental disorders where they need to be the focus of attention. Other people just want to, create confusion and make people who are looking into this stuff look bad.
This is something Heather Mindorf and I were speaking of. I said her name.
And
Heather,
you have people who can plant certain pieces of evidence to make it look as though when you vet them that it will show that they are who they say they are and they experience what they say they've experienced, just to be bamboozled in the end and made to look like a fool. And there are people out there, both in the government and in positions of power, who will hire people to do this. I mean, one of the great examples, look at Scientology and that actress from King of Queens, who...
Leah Remini,
who was this huge Scientologist her whole life and finally started to speak out against Scientology, and she started doing a TV show which showcased a number of families and people who have been torn apart by this cult and how they have come after her, and the families who have spoken out using private investigators trying to plant evidence, create false charges.
That's right.
You know, brutal. Making fake cases of vandalism. And I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you're up against when you deal with these powerful organizations who seem to have a protection of evil around them. And it's very frustrating when you're trying to do this work.
Opposition research on a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, continue, Anthony. I know we didn't mean to take you off your stride, but...
I appreciate the discussion. So ultimately, you know, we're asking for you guys' support with this project, and we're asking for that support because we need to make flights, we need to do interviews, we need to rent camera equipment, and what we're finding is so explosive that, you know, we've decided, you know, to go out and put our lives out on the line here, put our necks out, yep, to do all this work. And I can't stress enough to people how much that, beyond this, just the support that we've already gotten has helped so much.
Okay. Well, what's it like, Melissa, what's it like working together? I mean, is it something that you...
It's very natural. It's very natural. I mean, Heather and I, and Anthony and I, and Heather and Anthony... You know, we all talk separately. We all talk together. We have conference calls. We're on the phone with people. We report back to each other. We bring people into conference calls with us and have them give their stories. I mean, we are constantly working. I'll have someone that I'm working with, and if I go away or if I can't help them at that moment, Heather will jump on and she'll take over. Anthony, the same thing. Like, we're all just very much a cohesive team, and we get along really, really well. I feel like they're my brother and sister on some level. It's that easy to work with them, and their passion that I feel like is immeasurable. Like, I thought I was the only one that was obsessed with looking this stuff up every day and reporting it to everybody because I didn't think anybody knew what was going on. I found two people that are there with me, and it gets me a little emotional because, I mean, it's hard.
All three of you are very intense, and you haven't seen Heather, of course, behind the camera, but I'll tell you, of the three of them, kind of force multipliers working together, and individually, but
Heather's like the John Robertson of the operation.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, you saw her doing paperwork and printing stuff out and putting... She's gone through this stuff personally.
It makes me feel good being the elder person here, knowing that we've got people like this in the younger, much younger than I am, to continue forward, force on.
So I think you could take a few people in this room and add their ages together.
Get
to you.
I can still whoop you. No, I can't.
No, but it is great because, you know, in the news and in the world of politics and in the universities and Hollywood, we see this millennial generation portrayed as this, you know, politically correct social justice warrior, triggered, can't do anything but act on their own emotions, can't think for themselves, you know, no work ethic, you know, me, gimme, gimme, gimme. And that's the complete opposite of what we have sitting in the studio today.
Absolutely.
And it is, unfortunately, it is the exception to the rule, but as long as there are still people like this out there, there is still hope, and that's always the key thing we have to remember.
Amen. Well, Anthony, all right. Something, if we can, by the way, all of the links to support the documentary, Anthony, the Honeybee, it'll all be in the program description or on the Hagman Report, but we'll get you in the right place. So please do that, especially with the documentary, because there's a lot there. And this is, again, as Joe said, very tedious work and very time, very soul sucking, if you will. But Anthony, we were talking earlier about the Las Vegas shooting.
Yeah, let's get into this.
You know, I was on KFAQ with Pat Campbell this morning at 7:30, I guess it was, and we were talking about the Las Vegas shooting. And I realized after speaking with Anthony for about, half hour about the Las Vegas, and listening to what he had to say, I thought, man, what am I doing on there? They should have him on there. So
Well, I'm serious. You know, it's been 20 some days. What shooting are you talking about? Because I haven't seen anything in the news for weeks about it. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence. There's no motive. What shooting? It's gone. It's out of people's minds. It's out of the news minds.
Yeah. Anthony, let loose with your investigative findings, if you don't mind. Man, you just blew me away by some of the things that you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, with the Las Vegas shooting, I mean, initially coming across that from the very get-go of when it happened, I had the worst feeling about it. And so instantly just starting to look into everything, and eventually, you know, all of the narratives starting to fall apart was really what was the biggest observation to see. And I mean, let's just go ahead and get into it. I mean, because the thing is, you know, you've got conflicting evidence, you've got conflicting testimonies, you've got a lying FBI that first off is absolutely discredited.
Yep.
Has been discredited for a while now. Let's not forget the fact that they literally, in their rhetoric, laid out an indictment almost to Hillary Clinton, but then decided to completely do a 180 on that and not indict her. And so it shows the ultimate theme of a compromised Federal Bureau of Investigation.
And Anthony, I'm going to interrupt, but I just want to stop here. I think this is important. For those of you or of us who were awake on Sunday evening and got the initial news of what was happening and started to follow it and remember the details and what you heard on the news and what you saw on the internet, and the next morning, within 12 hours after that initial shooting, you go back to look at the news, and all of a sudden, you know, there was only one shooter when there was like 40 that night.
Right.
I mean, so much. ISIS has already been ruled out. Terrorism has already been ruled out. They made all these conclusions, you know, within the first 12 hours of investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And all that first 12 hours of the investigation had disappeared from everybody, especially the news media's mind, from the reports of shootings at 100 different casinos, from somebody mm-hmm. saying 45 minutes before the concert attack happened that everybody was going to die and they were surrounded. I mean, all these different things were completely, you know, forgot about and left out of the news. And the next day you wake up and it's no link to terrorism. We don't have a motive and the investigation's ongoing. So just in that, I mean, the cover up was quick. They neutralized the information they wanted or felt was damaging out of the mainstream media's narrative, or explained it away very vaguely in an article here or a segment there. But for the most part, all that initial information disappeared.
Well, yeah, and Anthony, let's take it from the top, basically. What do we know? What do we know?
Well, I mean, to be honest, what we know is almost about diametrically opposed to what's reported. And that's kind of the scariest part, if everyone's listening. And what we know from the get-go is that there are multiple shooters. It is on testimony alone, as well as on videos. And there's multiple casinos where the shootings were taking place. There were tons of rounds. This is all found on film. We don't have to go through that end. We know that's the case. However, in the media, they have been framing this at a simple lone wolf shooter, did all of this. And I mean, one point that I was thinking just the other day about it was, okay, so let's say it's just a lone shooter. Okay, let's put that disposition aside. Let's say that's true. Now, if this was a lone shooter and you know, he shot all these rounds in this room, where are the bullets? Okay, where are all the shells? Because we didn't see as much as that we found shot on all of this citizen footage. Beyond that, here's even more of a great reason to see why this is a total deception. Because when you think about a lone gun shooter happening or occurring in a situation, and he's shooting outside this window, are you telling me that there would be no casings falling to the lower sub roof of this casino? Yeah, go ahead. Go online. Go on the Google Maps. Look at Mandalay Bay. Look at the fact that there are multiple roofs, and the fact that if someone was shooting out of that window, all these rounds loading off, you would find casings on these places as they would drop down the hotel.
Sure.
Now, why isn't the media picking that up? Why haven't they found that evidence? Because it would just greatly benefit their narrative. Why isn't that occurring? Because it's not there. Because it's not true. It's not true. And so that's how you know this is a complete farce. And that's how you know there's an aligned movement right now in the media to cover all of this up. And it is aligned and orchestrated.
Okay. Do we... Now, we've all seen the pictures of the alleged shooter, Stephen Paddock. Did he do the shooting? Was he one of the shooters? Was he involved at all? And if so, to what extent?
Well, that much is kind of been very gray. We've found a lot about Stephen Paddock himself, but what's not really adding up, like I said, is this idea of a single motive, of a single shooter. People asking, how could this guy have done it all by himself? Why would he have done it? And that's where the, you know, casuistry and everything starts to happen, where they manipulate the discussion. And so no longer we're discussing the fact that all these bullets were fired and that there are multiple shooters, and that no longer is that even warranted for discussion, what I just said earlier.
Right.
We're not saying that. And so it's totally against logic, the way that this investigation is going.
What would be the motive to keep the truth from the public? I mean, in this case, do you think? Because I could just tell, and you must have done, I don't know how many hours you've got invested in research and investigation in this, but what would be the motive for keeping the truth from the American public in this case?
I mean, that's the thing that...
I know it calls for speculation.
Yeah, here's the thing, guys. I mean, with the evidence that we've been given that's been released to the public, it's just not enough. And that's really the point, is that we need the evidence to emerge. We need the tapes inside of all the casinos to emerge. Why hasn't that been released? Why hasn't the parking lot that's connected adjacent to the Mandalay Bay, why hasn't that footage been released of possible cars leaving during the time of the shooting? You know, we can't get to a discussion of what really happened or what the motives were if we're not given the evidence.
True.
Okay?
True.
And we can't begin to build a case that is substantial enough if, like I said, the evidence is not there, and what we are given, some that is called evidence, is absolutely fraudulent.
Okay. I totally agree with that, with you on that. What have you found that I think, what have you found that would make people do a double take, or what have you found that would surprise you upon finding? Is there any one thing when you looked into this? You think,
well, on my channel, we actually covered this. You can go to my YouTube and see the video for itself. We had an anonymous citizen of ours go to the Campos house where there was Troy Goff, the security guard, the alleged security guard there. When we went there, which Laura Loomer had gone before, we had gone a few days following that, we actually found something we were not prepared to find. We were going to go there to ask questions, get answers if possible, but what we did find, which was the most breaking news, the reason I actually released it so urgently, was because this man guarding this house had no license plate on his truck that was parked on the street. Had no license plate on it. In fact, you review the footage, go to my video, you'll see the fact that not only is there no license plate, there's an example of intent there in covering up the license plate. There was a white towel over the license plate. Okay, so that was nuts. We were not expecting that to happen, and so I instantly released it. And that was the first thing that really made me start to realize that there's a lot wrong here. Who is this person? In general, and
so you caused that to be
that
processed?
Was your video?
Was your
yes? We did that in concert. It was me and a friend of mine, and their friend, and it was the three of us, and we did do that video.
Wow!
And
awesome.
I had to conceal the identity of the person for their safety.
Okay.
And like I said, we weren't planning on finding what we found, but it was at that point, it was unbelievable.
And now, did you do the subsequent visit video? Because when you, okay, that didn't that show, okay, there was a difference in security guards, right?
Okay, what happened first is Laura Loomer went to the house.
No, they went first.
After, we actually went after.
Oh, you went after.
Laura
okay.
went to
I'm
the
sorry.
House first, and this is when Jesus Campos was missing, and a woman answered the door and said, "I can't talk, I'm not allowed to talk," something like that. She came back a day later, a couple hours later, I don't remember what it was, and there was a man in khaki pants and a red shirt with some kind of gold badge on, and he was they found his name, Tom Fenton or something like that was his name. He actually was a registered embalmer,
judicial watcher
for an old company, security company that was no longer licensed anymore.
That's right.
And he was told Laura Loomer not to. She wasn't allowed on the property. She wasn't allowed to ask questions. Nobody was allowed to ask these people questions. Then you guys came, and you found the vehicle with the white cloth covering the license plate, but there was no license plate to cover. It was covering the fact that there wasn't a plate, which who's allowed to drive around without a license plate?
That's the question.
That's the question for you, Dad. Who's allowed to drive around without a license plate?
Do
even
I get
license
three
plates
guesses?
Of undercover operatives come back as a no hit. They have plates.
Yeah, it just comes back as a no hit, indeed. Folks, we're talking. We have to take a bottom of the hour network break. We have in studio, of course, Melissa Zacharia, the Honeybee, and of course the Liberty columnist Anthony. And I don't want to screw up her name. Like I've done. So, Melissa, I'm going to give you the honor.
Anthony? So, there's Anthony Cadornaga and Heather Mittendorf.
Okay, thank you. See, you just push it off on someone else. Okay. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. The Hagmann Report on this Tuesday edition, October 24th, 2017. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for being part of our listening audience. We really appreciate it. And tell others about this program. Get right back.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changeclothesandwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagmann and Hagmann Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
I'm here, Melissa Honeybee, with my friends here, Doug and Joe, and my research team, Anthony Cadornaga and Heather Mittendorf, and we are here sharing with you really big breaking news we did tonight relating to Pedogate, and now we're back here with Anthony Cadornaga in Studio B, bringing us up to date with some of the crazy research he has discovered regarding the Vegas shooting. Anthony, let's bring it back to some of the other highlights of what you've seen. We were talking about the shells, the absence of shells. You know, there's all this chaos, people running around. There are multiple reports here of people, you know, either shooting at different places. You had some crazy, I mean, it's not crazy. It just, when you showed me this, it just completely changed the whole possibility of how this was actually possible.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, we can go into Mike Adams, and then I really want to talk about your railway discovery and how that might fit into the narrative of a lot of the multiple people that said this was not just at the Mandalay.
Absolutely. So, Mike Adams had earlier released a audio analysis, acoustical analysis, trying to locate and triangulate the sounds of the shots and the fact that there were multiple shots, multiple shooters. Operate this, and we already do know that there is nefarious things at MGM happening before this attack that gives credence to this theory here. You got people, the CEO himself, actually cashing out on this disaster and cashing out a large portion of stocks before it happened. So the notion of employees being in on it as in a sense of a chain of command in a company, absolutely. It's not anything that we should rule out from the get-go, and especially after this this information that I came across, I had the idea that possibly either, you know, an escape route was utilized on that rail, and it would have gotten you right out of there very quickly. It would have been dark. People would have noticed chaos ensuing. They would have been looking around them on their eye level, running everywhere. They would not be looking for moving carts. There's cars everywhere already moving. That's not what happens in a disaster. People don't look for that. So it was just an area of speculation for me that I found really interesting when I tied the fact that it was actually 10:30 that they cut off. And so it just seems like, you know, I even had this discussion, the last thing I'll say with Melissa here, about the fact that maybe this wasn't even a bunch of shooters. Maybe there were a few shooters. Maybe this was guns planted, in places that were automated. Who's to say these guns were fired by humans themselves? We live in a day and age, it's very possible. The military does it. They have been for a while. And so, ultimately, the next step you go with this is, okay, if that's the case, then is there possibly an idea of mounting that gun on a trolley car, mounting that gun on the trolley car to slowly move very ever so slowly, or maybe a track is actually programmed for it to move at different speeds, at different velocities, and actually have an intelligent pathway to go down and shoot different people with an automated weapon and cause total disarray as to where these shots are coming from, who's shooting them, and what do we find out at the end? It's some guy in the 32nd floor, you know, shooting all these shots. Like, you just can't buy it.
Real quick, just about the stocks, because you mentioned the weird activity surrounding the MGM CEO, the MGM stocks, and the George Soros put options. On September 17th, we saw the MGM stock reach a 3-month high of $34. And just a few days after the shooting, it reached a 52-week low of $29. So when we talk about the movement of the, we know the CEO of MGM in three separate months leading up to the shooting sold stock in MGM.
That's right.
Huge blocks.
The first two months he sold maybe 15% total. The third transaction, which was maybe 3 weeks before the shooting, he sold about 80% of his total holdings in MGM, which equaled about $8 to $10 million. And then we saw the stock, drop about $6 a share within the 2 weeks following the shooting, almost indicating that there was some kind of foreknowledge. And I wonder,
throw a source into that too.
We see the names of the MGM CEO and the George Soros's. I wonder how many other people. It would be interesting to get a list of people, between September 1st and September 29th, who made big moves on MGM stocks, who otherwise had a steady balance sheet with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right. Which, by the way, the research that Anthony has done, I was watching it, and I was watching him explain it to me, and some things that we cannot even say right now. Just leave it at that. Together as a team, Anthony, individually, it's incredible. Just incredible findings and research. What about what do you think about the security guard himself? He had mentioned, of course, that you visited the home of the security guard. What about him? Hero? I mean, he appears on Ellen, disappears and appears on Ellen. Thoughts on him?
I have a few thoughts on him. So, first off, just to get this part out of the way, that guy that showed up on Ellen, that's not the same picture. That doesn't match the picture of Jesus Campos we saw before. It's just not the same guy. It's similar. They have similar tracks in their facial hair, the way it grows. But other than that, I mean, it's got a round face, totally different hairline. It just doesn't match. That's the first part that literally, as I was watching, I was like, something's not right there. And the fact that out of all outlets, you're going to go on Ellen. And do you think that was initiated on just his behalf? No, he had firms or some kind of consortium of people telling him, come on this show.
The MGM. And
there you
sorry
go.
To interrupt, Anthony, but the
absolutely, no, absolutely.
MGM is doing damage control, worried about the billions of dollars of potential lawsuits from families. Saying that the MGM was worried and concerned that Jesus Campos would not be able to keep his timeline straight under the pressure of actual journalist hard questions, and they were concerned that would lead to a number of extra lawsuits with the timeline discrepancies showing the MGM's incompetence. Because one of the things people need to realize in Las Vegas, one of the last things any casino is going to do is call the police unless it's absolutely necessary. They want the least amount of publicity. This is why they have in-house security, both armed and unarmed, is to be able to handle things like this without getting police involved. And they will hold off on getting the police involved until the very last second, because bad publicity and crime and shootings in their casinos equal less tourist dollars. And what I think they did was not realize the severity of the situation right away. And whether it was a 6-minute interval between when Campos was shot and the concert goers were shot at, or it was much shorter, it didn't matter. I think the MGM was in damage control at the first reports of somebody with a gun on that floor. And I think that has led to a lot of confusion in this investigation also.
And I think to go a step further with that, we already know, this is like overt information, everyone can find this, that corporations are heavily invested in covering up things that happen that have to do with their companies. And literally there are markets out there called public relations firms that cover these things up. And so I would challenge others to find those websites, look at exactly what they say they do, and you'll see that they talk about cooperating with not only these corporations and covering up whatever case you got, how much money you got, but they also admit to cooperating with law enforcement. I mean, it's a ruse. So, I mean, it's an industry that was born out of Edward Bernays back in the day. You know, talking about, you know, the findings in his book Propaganda that he publicized, and talking about coining the word public relations, and what all that meant, and how much manipulation is involved in that art. And now that art that is normally most others would see as deceitful has now been bona fide today into actual markets. Are you telling me actual companies now like make money by lying to the media? And that's an actual legitimate bona fide organization. It's unbelievable. And so I would highly urge people to go look at all these firms, check them all out. You'll find things.
You're absolutely right about the PR side of this. And I'm so glad you brought up Renee's. I just had a conversation with Pizzagate Howie a month ago about that whole error of turning the propaganda into like a commodity tool, exactly, for the masses. There was just such an inspiration. I mean, I think even Hitler was interested in a lot of that information. To go back to, you know, trying to do the damage control, because that is a huge part of this. And that is why the judge in Las Vegas put that jurisdiction out, put that judgment out to preserve the evidence, the glass from the window, the shells from the bullets, all of Jesus Campos' schedule. Wanted to know every day he worked, what days he worked. They wanted to know about Stephen Paddock's gambling record. All things that are very easy to produce. Yet, MGM International is fighting this document that they have to preserve the evidence. Isn't that insane?
And let's not forget the fact that who are the ones that are covering up most of the things right now? I mean, we don't even have tapes of anything happening in these casinos. Like, multiple casinos, guys. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, who's to look for their motive at this point? It's the people not coughing up exactly what they should do for the public, the right thing to do. Release the tapes. I mean, my God. It's like, what is wrong with these people? I mean, and it's not just the tapes in the casinos. It's like I said, the narrative is destroyed. It's fallen apart. We're not talking about the tapes that can also be in the parking lot. We're not talking about all these things that we should, that maybe 30 years ago people had the sense to talk about.
Well, look at the tape of, we are told that there is the shooter, Stephen Paddock, had a first-person tape as he carried out the act. He was taping himself and what he was doing. Release the tape, release the audio. Why is it that we're told that the note that was found in his room, which held trajectories on the bullet trajectories firing into the crowd, how come if that's all that's on the paper, they can't take the note and show it to you? Instead, they can only tell you what's on the note. We even heard an ABC report the 1 week following the shooting say that they believed that Paddock would pretend to talk to other people in his room while on the phone with room service, and even go so far as to order food for two to pretend and make believe to the hotel staff that he was talking to somebody else. No evidence to show who was coming and going from the room, if it was just him alone, which they easily could have done. No, they went, you know, out on a limb, and I still have the video archived on my Vegas folder, which they say, you know, he was pretending that he had people in the room he was talking to. I mean, that level of incompetence by the media, to think that the American people would believe that, just shows you how much they really think of you.
Yeah, and it's like casuistry. It's like a total art of deception. I mean, it's like they are implanting false narratives. Here's what it makes me think of. It makes me think of, if you've ever played the game Minecraft, you know that if you make structures and you build these structures and they're not, you know, perfectly symmetrical, they don't make sense logically, they're not going to stand up, they're going to fall down. And so that's what I feel like. This is like some giant, like, terribly designed architected castle that is just falling apart, falling down as we speak. And they're going to build all these blocks and all these things, like all these stories of how this and this happened spinning the narrative to
like the
then
game
just
of Jenga.
Yeah, to just throw smoke and mirrors right in front of you and make you argue about trivial things. You're wasting your time. That they want you to waste your time.
I mean, look at Sandy Hook. People are still debating and arguing what really happened at Sandy Hook. As the FBI today just released a very heavily redacted report, there are still people out there who for a number of reasons, believe that it didn't happen, or it definitely didn't happen the way that it was reported to. There was no emergency personnel allowed in the building. No ambulances or paramedics went in to attend to the wounded or even tried to revive anybody. And just like Vegas, we saw, obviously, in an active shooting situation, you're not going to send your EMS and first responders right into the heart of where the shooting is happening. But at the same time, there was that video where after the shooting was over and they knew it was over, they turned the lights of the venue off, and an officer said, "Everybody who's laying on this field is already dead." And the guy in the video says, "No, you have EMTs over here and over there and over here working on these people. They're still alive." And things like that make you wonder. And it leaves...
No, that's a reference to Las Vegas.
Right. Okay. And because you have these people who say nobody died, it was all crisis actors, and there's no blood.
Oof.
But no, like I said earlier, I can see their point to a degree, because there's so many inconsistencies of what regular situations that police response would look like compared to what this looked like. 72 minutes to breach the room where the shooter was is unacceptable in any situation. When you have... Even what I just referenced, the video of the police officer saying everybody who's on the field laying there is dead, when you have EMTs working on people and people being carried out in stretchers. These just so many inconsistencies, the lack of evidence, all the information we have on Stephen Paddock, none of it relevant to anything of a motive or reasons why he did this or what led him to do this. There are more questions than answers, and they're never going to be answered. And just like with any other one of these government operations gone bad, gone rogue, or gone as planned, we are left, you know, this is where the term conspiracy theory comes into play. What else is left when we're not given the proper amount or right information about what happened? We are left to our own devices, and many people gravitate to the worst possible scenario. Other people gravitate to the simplest possible scenario, and then you have the majority who go in between those two. So you're going to have a million different theories as to what happened, and unless the investigators come out with the proof that they have, that we know they have, and say, okay, this is what happened and this is why it happened, this is never going to end.
Saw that there was a company that he's involved with called Paradise Ranch.
Oh yeah,
21.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Why are?
And there's like 40 Paradise Ranches in Nevada.
Wait a second,
right?
I got a big report for you to look at.
Yep, but for the purpose of this, okay.
And his ex-wife.
Oh, sorry about that. Yes.
No. Okay.
Stephen Paddock.
All right.
Yeah, and his ex-wife. And there's some questions as to what that. Company, what was it? American Paradise?
It's Paradise Ranch.
Paradise Ranch.
There's like 24 or 25 of them. They're different LLCs. Paradise Ranch 21 was under Stephen Paddock, and there is some connection. And Anthony, you can actually elaborate on this. There is some connection to another, yet again, a child foundation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because if you look at the name of the corporation, you said it was Paradise Ranch 21 LLC. That title, Paradise Ranch, is actually, get this, it's in the Philippines, okay? Not only the smallest connection here with it being connected to Mary Lou Danley, which I have no idea who she really is, that on top of the fact that the Philippines is a major, major explosive market for sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. It's actually under martial law at the moment as well. And so, you know, with that all being said, you find there's a place in the Philippines called Paradise Ranch, and get this, it's like a park, right? And they make all these, you know, structures, and it's kind of like this amusement kind of deal where people come, I guess, to just, I guess, have fun at the park. But in ultimate reality, it's funded by a child organization in San Francisco, I believe, in California. There's an organization, I don't recall the name of it, but it is a organization that is providing funding through the child's organization. And maybe Honeybee can elaborate a little bit about that.
I don't remember the name of the organization.
It's escaping me at the moment.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it either. And I wasn't the one that found that. That was on you, so you're going to have to figure that one out. But it's incredible like that the people that aren't allowed to get the information on the news that are being stopped at every corner to get the real story from the people that we're supposed to be trusting, the government, the MSM, that we are left to go scramble around looking for the reality of the situation, you know, finding out where this guy lived, finding out where he worked, what he owned, what's going on with his wife, this woman, you know, married to two guys at the same time, living with Stephen Paddock, not married to him. You know, she's going back and forth from the Philippines. Maybe there's some sex trafficking going on there, folks. Like, you know, you have Paradise Ranch, and which is another name for Area 51, isn't it?
It has its Area 51 connection. Okay, and Paradise Ranch 21. The reason that we know it's the same Stephen Paddock as listed as a shooter is because it says he is the managing member, and the address that is listed here goes right back to the address in Nevada where he lived at 3773 Howard Hughes Parkway. And
but wait a second, he didn't live there. That wasn't his residence.
He had many addresses, and that is one of them.
So that leaves the question, too.
He was on Babbling.
Why was that address raided and broken into?
Good point.
For investigation, because if this is all true, then if there is a connection to this, there could well be a lot of evidence at his house about all this,
mm-hmm.
and it totally compromises any possible attempt at actually gathering evidence in the scene. It's a total mess at that point.
Wow. Okay. We've only got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left of our time together. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to Melissa Zacharia, the honeybee, Anthony. I'm not going to even try to say your last name.
Kadornaga. Smith, you'll get it one day. It's
Jones.
Okay.
Seriously, I do this all the time. I don't belong here.
We still love you. It's okay.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And Heather, thank you so much. She's not been on camera, but she's so sweet and very, very, I don't want to say dangerous, but very effective.
She's dangerous.
Yeah, thank you, Heather. You are dangerous.
You know, and together, it's just so fun. It was amazing watching them as a team today. And they were working separately, but together, and just the intensity. And the class that they've brought to our show, my goodness, I just can't say enough good. So I would ask everyone to support their efforts, to support them individually and collectively, and to monitor, to sign on, to their Twitter feed and their social networking, to bookmark the websites, and to support the documentary being made. If anything is deserving of support, that certainly is. So with that, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank each and every, or all of you, all three of you, for being here and for classing up the place.
Thank you.
And I mean that.
You had a classy operation here, my friend. This is
thank you.
This is more than we could ever have dreamed. You guys are amazing.
Well,
and we'll hopefully come back again soon.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, it was great having you, and we hope we can have you guys back in the near future.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Standale up next.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.